In our studies since the first of the year, we have sought to exercise the impossible which God has made possible. And we've sought to exercise that now. And thus, here, as we're trying to come a little bit to the finish of it, somewhat, just to remind you, if I can, that Israel, using Israel for our example, Israel was given a very privileged assignment. They had a very privileged position, a very prized position, and they were a very special place, very special provision, super-duper care, God's care. Thus, chapter 19, Exodus, you would recall in verse 4, "You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar, prized, personal treasure unto me, above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." Israel was to be reminded of all of this specialness, all of this privilege. They had the right to possess God's gracious, good will for their life. They were to be a nation for all the nations of the world to look at, so that that nation, Israel, would demonstrate God, His government, a reverence and worship for Him alone, who is holy, the only God and the only Savior. Israel's assignment. Now, having said that, God took Israel, remember, in preparing them, and He brought them to Egypt under Jacob. And being brought to Egypt, they were slaves, 400 years or so. They were slaves. They were under Egyptian rule, in Egyptian bondage. They served the will and whims of Egypt. That's what they did. Now, in Exodus, God has rescued them across the Red Sea into the wilderness. And as they're being rescued and taken out of Egypt, and they're coming out of Egypt, but, it is very hard for them to leave Egypt. In fact, Egypt has a hold on them. They may get out of Egypt, but Egypt is not out of them. They're going to go, but Egypt's still in their heart and mind. Now, over, if you would, in the light of that, to chapter 12 of Exodus, and to seek to illustrate their journey for our benefit. Exodus chapter 12, picking up, please, in verse 33. Now remember that the 10 plagues, the last plague, takes the firstborn, and that included Pharaoh's son. And thus, Egypt is ready. The country, the nation, the Pharaoh, they're ready to get Israel out of there. In fact, 33, the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, reason. For they said, "We be all dead men. If you stay here any longer and God does anything worse than this, we are in terrible danger and trouble. Therefore, they want them out like a disease. We've got to get rid of Israel." This is the Egyptian. This is a plague. We've got to get rid of them. Now, in doing so, and thus the Israel, remember this mood, the movement. And so the whole country, nation, is in upheaval. And thus, they, Egyptians want them out, and God adds to the incentive to get out. Remember, verse 36. And the Lord gave the, I'll read verse 35. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians, not borrowed, they were given it. They could take what they wanted. They could go into an Egyptian house and take whatever they wanted. They could work, and they've worked as servants, as slaves for the Egyptians. They knew where everything was, and they could go and take it, and the family, the people that owned it, would say nothing. God gave them. It was a very difficult time. Verse 36, and the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them, lent or gave them, such not to be returned, such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramoth to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot, that were men, besides children and women. And the mixed multitude went up also with them, flocks and herds and very much cattle. They're on the way out of Egypt, but again Egypt is in them, very much so. Thus, chapter 13, and in verse 17. Remember now, they're on their way out of Egypt. We want to get something else that will help us. In verse 17, and it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. In other words, that's going up the Red Sea going right around the Mediterranean Sea, I should say, going right up north, right around the where Gaza is, right up around there, and you'd be in Jerusalem. No time at all. Wow. And God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent, change their mind about leaving, when they see war, and return to Egypt. So God led them a whole different way, back down to the Red Sea. Now, in the process of that, just keep in mind, they have no stomach. They have no stomach to fight. They're slaves. They're used to slavery. They're used to being obedient to the Egyptians. And they have no stomach for war, for opposition, for obstacles, opponents. They have no incentive to climb the mountain, to overcome the enemy, to kill the Goliath. They have none of that. And God knows it. God knows it. They don't have it. So, God led them a whole different way, as you know. Now, in the light of that, and in the, over, if you would, chapter 14 of Exodus, verse 11. Remember now, they're on their way out. I'm trying to get a handle on what is it, what did Israel fail to have and do, why they didn't succeed. Chapter 14, verse 11. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt to die in the wilderness. Remember, they're at the Red Sea now. Because there were no graves in Egypt, thou hast taken us away to die in the wilderness. Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this word that we did tell thee in Egypt? In other words, here's all the plagues, week after week. Didn't we tell you, Moses, quit doing what you're doing? You're going to make trouble for us. And were they ever happy? No, they were not happy. the flies, the plagues, the lice, the grasshopper, not. Are you happy? No, no, no. We just wish you'd go away, Moses. And thus, is not this the word, verse 12, that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. So there they are, moving, and they just are not doing well at all. Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13, remember. They, when they were in Egypt, they didn't want to leave Egypt. And they went out of Egypt, but Egypt was still in their heart and mind. And in the process of that, I'm interested, when does it leave? When does this leave? Because they're going into Canaan, and they've got to fight. They've got to overcome. They've got to consume or be consumed. They've got to make a choice now. Numbers chapter 11, remember, and they were had the right to go from Kadesh Barnea, the southern part of Palestine, right up through into the land. But, remember the spies are there. The spies went in and checked the land out. And I'll just give you the flavor of it again to remind us. Chapter 11, Numbers, verse 4. And the mixed multitude, that's always the trouble, they didn't have a pure heart. They got a whole lot of, you can't do this, and you got all the people saying different things. You didn't have agreement, you didn't have harmony, and thus it was very hard to proceed. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt, freely, lots of fish, cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic. That's the diet of a slave. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes, and we're looking out there, and God, if we are back in Egypt, and all we have is this manna, that's all we have. Now, and remember now, looking at that, and you want to consider, you know, they look at the manna, they didn't feel they had anything, that God gave them anything, and God gave them all that, but they were not happy. They had no stomach for manna. It was a super-duper food. Super-duper. You could just eat manna and never have any other vitamins. No greens, no beets, no carrots, no vegetables. Just manna. You would have all the vitamins you need, all the chemicals you need, selenium and all of that to be in your body. Wow! You know what? They had no stomach for it. They weren't interested. They were interested in the surface and not the substance of their heart. Now, so in the process of that, in Numbers, as we shared, they had no heart. And Numbers chapter 13, remember the spies, they're there. And in Numbers chapter 13, picking up, please, in verse 27. Remember now, they've come back from surveying the land. Verse 27. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it, and they had samples. Verse 28. Nevertheless, the people, be strong, that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great, and moreover we saw the children of Anak there, those are giants, and the Amalekites dwell in the land south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. In other words, there's all these different peoples, and they're all not in line where we're coming from. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess this land, and for we are well able to overcome it." But the men, ten were against of the 12. But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, remember, for they are stronger than we are." They brought up an evil report, negative report, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land, through which we have gone to search it, is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that saw it, all the people that we saw in it, are men of great stature." Verse 33, and there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight little nothings. Now, and in verse 32, the middle, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants." And so God, here we are looking at Israel, reminding ourselves about them, and they saw a wonderful land, but they saw great obstacles, great opponents, many things that they were totally incapable of handling and overcoming. And the people that possessed all of this wonderment, all of these possessions, all of these wonderful products that they lived in there, with the fruit and the land and the minerals, they had it all. But they're bigger than, better than we are. We're done. We're done. They'd gobble us up. We'd have to go in and be their slaves. From Egyptian slaves to be their slaves. No, they weren't going to do that. Not at all. And Joshua said in verse 30, "We are well able to overcome. We're well able to come to go up again." But they were not considering that. Now, chapter 13, and as we said, God, the verse 31, the people said, "We're not able to do so." And they continued to have no stomach, no taste, no digestive system to choose life, to choose God's will. They didn't have any. They were going to serve the will of Egypt, the will of the world. That's what they were going to do. That's all they could understand. If we don't serve the Egyptians, we're going to serve the Canaanites. They had no sense, no taste to see that the Lord is good. They didn't have that. No. They would rather, as if we looked back in Exodus 16, if we went back there, chapter 3. If we eat this manna, we're going to die, as it were. We're going to lose out on our heart's desire, our comfort zone. We're much more comfortable in Egypt, no question. And so in the process now, they had no appetite for Egypt, no appetite for the world, none whatsoever. They had little or no appetite, as we shared, for God's wonderful place, plan, purpose for their life. They had none of that, none of it whatsoever. Now, in the light of that, chapter 14 and in verse 8. Here's Israel, and they're saying no, but Caleb and Joshua were very convinced that they were able to easily take the enemy. And Caleb and Joshua were right. The 10 were wrong. Chapter 14, verse 8. "If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them. And the Lord is with us, fear them not. We are able to consume them. You think they're going to consume us, but we will consume them. And they know it. Their defense is gone. They know that we who crossed, the God who made us cross the Red Sea, who's kept us in the wilderness these 40 years, the place of death, they know that that God is invincible. You couldn't touch him. They were afraid. But without God, we're losers. We're losers. Now, in the process, verse 10, but all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? How long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? In other words, God had done all of these wonderful, wonderful things, and they are not paying attention at all. Now, God, if we just go, Joshua, Caleb, you mean if we just go in there, we can beat 15 Goliaths, 100 Goliaths, chariots of iron. What has that got to do against God? What could God do with an Egyptian army? What could God do with a minuscule Canaanite army? How do you compare them? If God could take care of Egypt, why can't he take care of the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites? But the people didn't have a mind for that. No appetite. No appetite at all. No. They would rather be consumed. They would rather have served the world. The world system. The world system's will, whims, and ways. Wishes. What does the world want of us? And then we yield to the systems, the new governments, the new this, the new that. That's what they want. And Israel was serving in their mind and heart, the Egyptians, but not enjoying serving God. Now, we had shared together in the process one other place first, over to Psalm 78, if you would. Psalm 78. And you would recall the great psalm about history of Israel, commentary on the history. And Israel should have conquered, consumed, possessed, but they didn't. Since they didn't, pretty soon they couldn't. You say, I can't. And pretty soon you can't. You can't do it. You convince yourself it's not for you. It's not for you. Now, here's Psalm 78, and picking up just the flavor of it, if I may, in verse 24, remember now in the looking at that, they should have consumed. They said, no, the Palestinians will eat us up. And Caleb said, no, we're going to eat the Palestinians. Psalm 78, 24. And had rained down manna upon them to eat, and had given them corn, the corn of heaven. God gave them the food. Man did eat angels' food. He sent unto them meat, full food to the full. They had more than enough. He caused an east wind to blow in the heavens, and by his power he brought in the south wind. He rained flesh, quail, also upon them as dust, and feathered fowls like the sand, as the sand of the sea. In other words, they had birds, all they had to do was reach out and grab, and they could have four quails for supper. Verse 29. Verse 28. And he let it fall in the midst of their camp round about their habitations. So they did eat and were filled, for he gave them their own desires. They were not estranged, alien from their lust, but while their meat, the food, was yet in their mouth, they're chewing it. The wrath of God came upon them and slew the fattest of them and smote down the chosen men of Israel. Why? For all this they sinned still and believed not for his wondrous works. They just wouldn't have a stomach for God. They just wouldn't do it. They just didn't want it. God tried to get them to see. If you eat this stuff, like you'll see tonight, if you eat this stuff, you'll die. It's no good. But they didn't get the message. They just didn't get the message. So now, verse 39. Well, yes, verse 35. And they remembered that God was their rock, and the high God their Redeemer. Nevertheless, knowing that God was God, and they should honor him, nevertheless they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues. In other words, they said, oh God, we're going to do this, we're going to change this, we're going to fix this. It was a whole lot of words with no heart to it. Hypocrites. Verse 37. For their heart was not, N-O-T, right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant, but he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath, for he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. How often did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God, putting him to the test, and put a boundary on how much they thought God should do, and limited the Holy One of Israel. They remembered not his hand, nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy. They had no sense of God. They had no appreciation for God. They rejected the relationship. They were self-consuming. They were consumed with their own lust, in their own heart, in their own way. They were not. God had given them his will, his way, his wish, his wonderful provision, his personal care, his personal management. They rejected that. They rejected it. Overview with Psalm 14. Psalm 14. Psalm 14, David writes. David is the penman. David's going through, period. The ark is coming back into Jerusalem, ultimately into the temple of Solomon. And in that setting, where the ark had been captive, taken captive by the Philistines, etc. Verse 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. Sliding. And the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge? Don't they understand you can't beat God? Don't they understand they are but wind as grass of the field? They're nothing. They have no power, nothing. Don't they understand? No. No, they don't. Who eat up my people? And going after Israel, you're going after me. To go after the church, you're going after me. How do we get God? You can't hit God, but you could hit Israel. You can make it miserable for Israel. You can do that. That's a way to get God, God's people. That's what they were doing. So now, and thus, in the end of chapter 14, verse 4, who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord? They have no sense, no desire, and they just, being God's enemy, the world system, Egypt, they're going to go and eat up God's people. God's people want to be able to honor God, and the world system says, no, you can't honor God, not among us. And thus the world system won't let that happen. Not easy. You can go to church. You can go to 10 churches. You can be a bishop, a pope, and everything. But you can't be a believer resting in the finished work of Christ. That you can't be. You can't honor the God of the Word. In honoring the God of the Word, you honor the Word of God. You can't do that. That's unacceptable. And thus they eat up, to get rid of everything and anything to have it do that. And so the world system. And Israel is thus attacked and is attacked and is in a very difficult place today. Now, having said that, God said, the world eats up my people. So we have to understand that in our human nature, we're part of the world system. We're all humans. And humans tend to run the system in a human way. And we humans are prone to go with the system in a human way. And thus, we are, as we said a while back, you need to make a difference between being conditioned by things and adjusting to things. If you're conditioned by them, that can be not good. You're going to get conditioned by the new conditions. You want to adjust to the newer conditions. Don't get conditioned by them because then you change. You aren't trying to change. You're locked on to course. You're on solid ground. You're letting the world system eat you up and gobble you up and bring you in. Hold it now. You don't want that. No. And the author of this awful mood and movement against God is none other, 1 Peter 5, none other than the devil himself. 1 Peter chapter 5. And you would recall 1 Peter 5. May I go to verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, your opponent, your enemy, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion in rage, from rage or hunger, a roaring lion, verse 8, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, to swallow up, to drink down, to put it in the mouth and let it gulp it down. Boom! The devil isn't even interested in tasting. He wants to get it down into his system. He wants to control. And that's why you have in verse 7 above it, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Otherwise, you're going to get caught up in all the worries and all the cares and all the conflicts. You're going to be busy trying to make your life overcome all that you have to overcome every day. And if you're doing that every day, you're going to get worn out. You're going to get eaten up. That's what happens. You get born, another thing, another thing, another thing, and this thing and that thing. And we have to get, we're moving. We're caught. Is that what you want, God? Is that what Israel? No, Israel failed to possess God, the good land in the good way before a good God for good reasons. They didn't do it. They just didn't do it. They lost out. The dummies. They're dummies. So what? So there's a Goliath. So there's 10 chariots of iron. So there's all kinds. That's the world system. But God saves. God saved Israel to be a prized treasure, a people among all people that no one could get them. They were to be a light in the darkness. All the darkness in the world cannot put out a, what? A light. Dark, dark, dark. What difference does it make? How dark it is. The light is lit. That's what the light's for darkness. Wow. So now, God, what are we going to do? Well, what did you do? John chapter 4, Gospel of John. Remember, John chapter 4. We'll be getting back to that next time. You thought I forgot John, did you? I didn't forget John. John chapter 4, our Lord. Remember, they were concerned about him eating. And the disciples were, and just to get it quickly, in chapter 4, verse 34, Jesus said unto them, his disciples, "My meat, my food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. My food is to consume the will of God." That's my food. My food is to consume the will of God, the way of God, the word of God, the war that God is in. I am to be in this world, and the world is not to consume me. I am to consume it. It is to serve my purpose. The devil himself serves my purpose. All demons serve my purpose. The weather serves my purpose. Everything ultimately serves my will. So when we want the will of God, that's what the Lord wanted. So when he went down the corridor of time, that's why the world was out to kill him all the time, trying to get him, but they couldn't get him. He didn't have an army. The only guy we know that had a sword was Peter. The only one we know that had a sword. And when he did try to use it, God, he didn't do well. Anyway, he didn't even get the servant. He missed his head, you know. I mean, he wasn't a good swordsman. You can understand, he didn't practice. What can I tell you? So now, here, God, you didn't have any help. No. Well, couldn't the world get you? No. Did it make you worry, depressed, depleted? Did it get after you? Did they trap you? Did they corner you? No. No. I consumed all that they were about and transmitted it before God. And I wanted the will of God in my perfect humanity to be outworked. And who is to oppose? Who is going to oppose God's will? No one. Israel, did you understand that? No. Church, the people in the church, believers today, here we are. And how did you make it, Lord? Well, I just looked and went forward and over to John chapter 6 quickly. John chapter 6. And you would recall, going if I can, in verse 663, what is it? It is the spirit that quickeneth, makes alive. The flesh profits nothing. No, we aren't going to fight that way. Our weapons are not carnal. Profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So God, we're going to honor your word. That's right. We're going to honor thy word, your will, your promises, your precepts, your plan, your purpose for our life. The Lord is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing is God's judgment. We just did how many times on this whole thing? And then what do we have? Believers. God takes our lot, and our lot in him, we're bought with a price, becomes his lot. And our lap becomes his lap. We're bought with a price. We are not our own. We're a living sacrifice. We're to honor God. God's will. We're to be consuming everything. So that we're looking to God, so that everything in our life only strengthens us, only gets us locked on like a laser beam on target, so that we can proceed. What's going to beat you? Nothing. Nothing. The devil himself has no heart in you, has no way to get you at your heart, none whatsoever. So now, God, here we are looking to you, and you know, what is it going to take? Well, we're either going to be, just think of a big mouth, if I can. Here's a big mouth, a shark, a white, 1,000-foot white shark. And here it comes. Now, here you are. And you're either there with all of your dreams and aspirations and everything. Here you are trying to live your life Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And it's going to swallow you up like this. Wow. Now, how are you going to stop that? Because the shark with the big mouth, remember the big mouth? God is greater than that shark. And if you would allow me, God's mouth makes the shark mouth like nothing. And you're going to come in the will of God. So the shark would like to get you, but he can't because you're with God. And the shark loses. The world system wants this out of you and that out of you. And you adjust, but you aren't conditioned by it. You're looking to God to make it. So, he that hath begun a good work in me will what? Will finish it. Work out your own salvation with what? Fear and trembling. That's it. Because it's God which worketh in you, willing to do of his good pleasure. So God, here comes. It would like to take me. The problem, home, family, friends, health, wealth, coming, going, school, work, home, enemies, everything, heartache, headache, would like to get me. But I'm going to look to God to help me through it. And instead of being consumed, I'm going to consume. Instead of being eaten, I'm going to eat. I'm going to take, like our Lord, all the heartache, tribulation. Count James 1:2. Count it what? Count it all what? When you fall into diverse temptation. And instead of letting the daily duties and demands take me, I'm going to look to God and work my way through them inch by inch. Foot by foot. I'm going to count it, God. Thank you. I'm going to work through them. May hard it may be, you have little struggles, but all of that is strengthening. Hard it, you fall down and you get back up again and you get at it. Yeah, you can't stay down. And you're working through it and counting it all joy. And what's God going to do? God, you're going to get stronger and you're going to get where you thought you had to have, you thought you had to have everything and foe at everything, and you learn to quit. And that drive, you do everything you can up to the point, and then you're going to say, God, I have to trust you. I must trust you. Not that I'm irresponsible, I have to be responsible, but I'm going to have to trust you. God, I'm going to thank you, whether I have or don't have, like in Philippians 4:11-12. I have learned in whatever state I am to be what? Content. So whether I have succeed or I fail, I'm going to thank you. And inch by inch, you will get me down the corridor of time, God. And I'm going to look to you. It isn't going to take me. I'm not going to let it. It wants to take me, the world system with its big mouth wide open, wants to swallow me up and take me so that I can't honor you. All the privileges I have as a child, your son, I would lose them. I don't have the benefits when I get swallowed up. And God, I'm not going to let it swallow me. I'm going to do what you did. You endured the cross. You counted it joy as you moved all the way to the cross. God, if you can do that for me, to bring me there to that cross, and it was joyous for you to take my place, the perfect substitute, and take my place on that cross. If that was a joy to you, then boy, I'm going to, God, follow you, as it were, and count it all joy. And the world isn't going to have me. The world isn't going to consume me. I know it needs courage. I know it needs courage. And I know God. I know God, like you said, in Malachi 3:6, you don't have to turn there, you know. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, you are not consumed. How come you keep living? Because I let you live. The world would like to have you disappear. But you're going to honor me. And the world can't have you that much. The world could have Job, remember we did the other day. The world can have Job, but only so much of Job. That's all. You can make it miserable for Job, but you can't take his life. He's mine. I belong to him. And we fumbled through it in Sunday school with indwelling and the indwelling Spirit of God that seals, puts down the down payment, the earnest, and then anoints us and makes us fit to serve, qualifies us. Wow. Wow. Boy. Oh, in closing, over if you would. I hope you got a little bit. You're either going to get eaten up today or tomorrow, or you're going to eat. You're going to consume. Instead of stuff eating you out, I don't care how nasty or lousy it is, there's no reason you can't win. Because God never said, well, I want you to give thanks to the Lord whenever you can, when it looks good. Do you remember reading that? Remember reading that? In everything. Oh, it didn't say everything, did it? Did it really say in everything give thanks? It did say that, didn't it? God, do you understand the problem? God said, count it all joy. Rejoice in the Lord, what? Well, God, didn't you understand our problems? Didn't you understand our situation? I sure did. I'm telling you how to handle it. You're going to have to get to me. And you, allow me. You and me together. You and me together. We'll go. Christ in you makes you more than a conqueror. Doesn't he? Christ in you. Who's going to, you say the giant's big, but God in you is bigger than the giant. Bigger than the problem. Bigger than the pain. And practice it. Put it to work. And God's right there. I know he is. I'm trying to tell you, it works. He's there to make it go. But you got to do it. I can't do it for you. I can only bug you. Trying to bother you. In closing, Matthew chapter 6. Appreciate your patience, and I hope you get a little bit. It's where it is. It's just hard to get there. As we get tired and everything, life's so hard, and work and Matthew chapter 6, you will remember it, you know it. Picking up, if I may, in verse 30, for a little bit of the context, wherefore if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, don't be anxious, don't have a divided mind, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, whether shall we clothe, we're caught up. The system says we've got to honor it. No, we don't. No, we don't. We need to be reasonable in it, but don't honor it. Verse 32. After all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. So God, you know. That's right. So therefore, the world's busy what it's doing. It's seeking to win. And I'm in the way, said God. And that's why you're in the way. You're going to honor me. The world's going to want to get rid of you. That's the way it is. You're a pain in the neck to them. You're a pain in the neck. You aren't trusting the system. You aren't counting the world's system. You're counting on the government to make it for us. No. No. Counting on God. Counting on God. Now, and thus verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And by the way, when you do that, God, am I going to know? I know everything. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, honor me, and all these things shall be what? I'm going to take care of them. Now, either you're going to trust me in this, you say, well, I'm going to get eaten up. No, you're not. No, you're not. I'm going to use you. We've been studying it. All things work together. Romans 8:28. All things work to what? Together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Is that what you want? Well, that's what God's going to do. God's going to honor his purpose. That's what he has. He didn't ask you if you were like everything. He didn't say that. He just said, be available, and I'll do all that I'm going to do. And you'll make it. And you'll win. Because when you're all done, you can be laying there, exaggerating, a steamroller just ran over you, all the way up to your head. You with me so far? You're enjoying the trip? All the way up to your head, and the steamroller's just about to go the next step, and the last thing you say, thank you, God. That's the last thing. I'm going to thank God all the way to the end. And you win. You win. You don't lose. Wow. Our Father in God, we thank you for your grace and mercy and kindness. And God, here we are. So deal with our heads and our hearts and our homes and all of these things, all of the needs. Boy. All the headache. We get lax and lazy. We get indifferent. We get set in our ways. God, we aren't open to grow, to change, to develop. God, to be more than conquerors. God, help us to be. Give us, may we find, as we look to you, the courage. In the world, you said we'd have tribulation, pressure, squeezing, trouble. But God, there is triumph. Triumph, you have overcome the world. God, greater are you in the believing heart than he that is in the world. The devil would like to swallow us down, swallow us up. But God, it isn't going to happen. The devil doesn't have a big enough mouth. The devil doesn't have enough of anything to swallow you up. To swallow us necessitates to swallow you. God, thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.